first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Podcast, show number 90.
Number 90.
That is a landmark, if ever I've heard one.
Certainly is.
10 more weeks, we've got a show 100. We've got to do something special for that.
I'm not sure if we should retire on 99.
Do you reckon? Just go out on a high?
Yeah.
Like 40 Towers and stuff like that. Where
we're only doing 99 episodes.
But that, then you've actually said that we're on a high at the moment. A lot of people will question that.
True. We probably peaked that on show 14.
Yeah, we should have stopped at 9. Stopped the other 90. Okay, show 90, I had to go to Italian 90 for my opening game this week. Had to. The oldest player in the England squad at Italian 90, have a guess, anyone?
39.
No, well, not bad for the age. The oldest was 40. Peter Shilton is the oldest at age 40.
I was going to go with Peter Shilton.
The youngest, give me an age and a player. Guess around the table.
Or just
England.
Wayne Rooney.
He would have been very young. He would have been very young. Have a think. I was actually surprised that he was the youngest player. Just have some guesses, come on.
David Platt?
I was going to say.
No, David Platt was the second youngest.
I was going to say David Platt.
The youngest was Paul Gascoigne at age 23.
Oh, he was the young, three, that's nice.
He was the youngest in the squad. Gazza was 23 and David Platt was 23, but an older 23 as I understand it. So then I looked at the rest of the squads and I thought, Gazza's a bit of a surprise one. I wonder who else was the youngest in their squad at Italian 90. So I'm going to throw a few ones at you. Romania, the youngest player in the squad was Radicioiu at age 20, went on to play for West Ham.
Yep.
Taffarel was the youngest in the Brazil squad.
Oh, right, yeah.
23.
Right. I don't just remember him being bald and old.
they get better. Scotland, John Collins at the age of 22.
John Collins.
Sweden, Thomas Brolin at the age of 20. Palace legend. This is an interesting one. Germany, Andreas Müller at the age of 22.
Right.
Who obviously 6 years later went on to score the penalty against England and did the old posture after the shootout. Yeah. Holland, Brian Roy, age 20.
Right.
Ireland, Steve Staunton, age 21.
Big star,
and then the best of all of them, the last one, Italy, the youngest player in this one was Paolo Maldini, age 21.
He would have been there about 4 years, by the way.
Exactly. Yeah. He got 800 caps by then, but he was still the youngest. So, yeah, there you go. Right, open it out, guys. Right, Team GB, first of all.
I was going to say.
Because the only football that has been on is the Olympics.
And I'm so glad when you when we talked about the crunchy earlier, and I thought, oh, good, I'm doing the Olympic football review, because I've seen absolutely all of it.
I was thinking about that, having been away this weekend.
Yeah, I've been away for the weekend, haven't really seen it all. But obviously, being the man that I am, did a bit of research.
Yeah
well, I don't really know who's looking like they're going to go through. England, they need a win.
Should we start with the women's, then?
No, I'll tell you what, I can tell you some stuff about the women's as well, to be fair. But no, right, so men's.
Hang on, just quickly on the women's. The left back has scored in every game.
Steph Houghton, yeah.
She's a left back, but she's right footed. She scored against Brazil last night. We were recording this on Wednesday. Decent finish,
Great return from Karen Carney, who set it up.
Yeah.
Took out three players.
And for winning the group, they now get to play in Coventry for the next round. Which I was like, group winners. They obviously, everyone at Team GB thought they probably wouldn't finish top of the group. Because their next game is in Coventry for the
final. I thought you said they're playing Coventry next. I was like, wait a minute.
They'd probably beat Coventry at the moment.
Coventry are playing in the. Wait, hang on, right. Yeah,
they have gone down a few leagues, Coventry. I'll just
say about the women's. The Team GB women are now in the quarterfinals against Canada.
They've won all three games, haven't they?
They've done really, really well.
And so Brazil were playing, is it Japan?
Japan, that's right.
And Japan are the world champs.
Yeah.
But game. Canada are supposed to be quite a decent team.
Quite good as well.
USA would meet them in the semi-finals.
And I was going to say, the one thing I did see was when the USA women's team scored their 1-0 winner against Korea. Did anyone see that? They all lined up in a row, the whole team.
Yeah.
Did the old pop and lock breakdance move.
Oh, really?
Start at one end, and they all sort of pop. Everyone knows when you can slip from one arm to the other, pop and lock. And they all did that along the line. It was a great celebration.
Pop and lock, is that?
Well, I'm a part-time breakdancer on my team, mate.
Pop and lock. If we learn nothing else from today's episode, it will be pop and lock.
I think that'll be it for me. I'm going to stop listening.
Yeah, so that was quality. But yeah, right, so Team GB Women's doing very well. On to the men's. Well, top of the group at the moment. All we need is a draw against Uruguay.
And we're playing Uruguay tonight, isn't it? We're recording this Wednesday, so...
Yeah, playing it tonight.
Wales.
And obviously there's a lot of... Both Bellamy and Giggs come out and said, please don't boo the national anthem. I mean, we were talking about this, weren't we? When we played footy last week and we were watching the England game. We were watching the England game after the footy, was it?
Yes, we were. Against Senegal, when Bellamy got scythed down.
Yeah. Well, that was a nasty tackle. A definite pen. But we were... I found that really weird. I am surprised that they're using the English national anthem.
It's officially the Great Britain national anthem.
See, I mean, Scotland and Wales have a different one. If I was Welsh or Scottish, I wouldn't be happy.
No, well, traditionally it's known as as you say, you're English, you thought it was the English national anthem.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you've got to respect their decision to not sing it. There's nothing wrong with that. Just respect it. It's not like they're. They're singing their own over.
If Bellamy and Giggs and that, during it, we'll just go.
Slightly different.
We'll be a bit out of
order. We're doing the pop and lock. Just them two and Ramsey, and then Alan in the middle, just doing a pop and lock. Just have that, Queenie.
going back to the footy, I mean, at all four groups, there's pretty much. I mean, it could go either way, but you've got. In Group A, you've got two teams on four, one on three, one on naught. But that's the closest group, really, because Group B. Mexico and South Korea on four, Switzerland and Gabon on one. Group C, Brazil on six, Belarus on three, Egypt and New Zealand on 1 point. And Group D, Japan on 6 points, Honduras. Japan doing well. Honduras on four, Morocco on one, Spain on zero.
Yeah, absolutely.
Spain are out.
They lost at St James's Park, didn't they, against
Japan
beat in the first
game. And they lost 1-0 to Honduras as well.
Absolutely outrageous.
Yeah.
So who's the favourites now on paper? Do we know?
Brazil.
Yeah. It's got to be Brazil.
They've never won it, have they? They've never won Olympic gold.
But they've got a tasty team. They really do.
They were taking the mic the other day when they were playing. I can't remember who, but it was just ridiculous.
Was it New Zealand?
They haven't played New Zealand yet.
Last week we were talking about, is anyone that bothered? I actually really enjoyed watching, specifically Sunday's game, when Sturridge came on and got the little...
Against UAE?
Really good winner.
After my weekend that I'd had at Global Gathering, I wasn't in much of a state Sunday. I actually fell asleep at half time.
Because at half time they were walking in, UAE looked rubbish.
To be fair though, I mean, what a goal though. What a goal from UAE.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Bad defending.
Terrible.
Ran through him. Everyone was just like,
but the burst of pace was good though. But they actually played quite sexy football going forward. UAE, the little one touch
counter attack. It was really good.
What I really like is that they play it forward and someone will touch it off back once, and then they'll have the runners coming through. Yeah, exactly. And it works pretty well. So it's one touch football, give and go. And actually, going forward, it was quite nice. Mate. Going back, defending there was pretty poor.
So what have Brazil's results been? Have they been smashing it up?
I think it was 3-0 and
3-0.
Yeah.
You've got the scores there. I've only got
the tables.
And also, who did the women's team play on Sunday or over the weekend before Brazil? Was it Cameroon? Their goalkeeper is brilliant. She's one of the best sports persons you'll ever see. She can't have ever played football.
One of them.
She was brilliant in goal. She just didn't have any.
I've seen videos of a couple of her kicks from six yards. She
had a terrible game in the opening game, and then against England, she didn't do much better.
Did she catch the ball outside the area though, like the geezer in there? Was it recently? Where one of the African teams, the geezer just caught the high ball about 10 yards outside the area.
She wasn't catching anything. Trust me, she was not catching anything. Quickly before we move on against Team GB, something that I saw. I don't know if you know this. Scott Sinclair
and his brother
are going to make history this summer. The first British brothers to take part in the Olympic Games and the Paralympic Games. Scott, obviously 23, is in the Olympic squad. His brother, Martin, 26, is going to be in the 7-a-side Paralympic team for players with cerebral palsy.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
So, and I like the fact that the banter is flying between them already.
Yeah.
The article I've got, it says the brothers already admitted that banter, and it would have begun over who will score more goals. But yeah, the first siblings ever to do British.
You've got to give the advantage to his brother in seven aside, I reckon.
That's true. You think there'd be more goals?
More goals in seven aside, but. Yeah, that's brilliant. That's a heartwarming one. That one.
Yeah, definitely. And I didn't know anything about that as well. So
that's quality.
Good luck to Martin when the Paralympics kick off as well.
And we'll have to keep an eye on that. I was going to say
yeah, we will. And obviously Team GB tonight as well. So we hope they go through.
Yeah.
Right.
And more importantly, tonight for us,
yes,
big one.
It's game day for the podcast. Half the podcast. Exactly half the podcast are off tonight to watch Gabon versus South Korea.
That's boom. Right.
Do you know anything about Gabon yet?
Yeah, they play in blue and blue and yellow.
Yellow.
That's why I'm wearing yellow and blue today.
And it's a dead rubber, isn't it? Can they both go through?
I don't know. If they beat South Korea,
yeah. I haven't got the goal difference here. I haven't got it.
So Gabon can still go through?
I think so.
I reckon if they win by a few goals, I don't see why not. And then obviously if Mexico beat Switzerland, and then Gabon
beat South Korea, go through on head-to-head. I mean, Gabon go through on head-to-head.
Very true,
yeah. There you go. All to play for.
Come on, Gabon.
All right. They're called the Panthers. Nickname is the Panthers.
Nice.
Most distinguished player, probably in our eyes.
Centre forward, isn't it? What's his face?
Yeah, go on. You've got it, Dan. Come on.
Oh, Daniel Cousin.
Played for Lons, then went to Rangers. He's got a record at Rangers as well, I found out. 28 appearances, 11 goals.
Not bad at all.
Then he went to Hull. He didn't do great there. He didn't really get in the team, to be fair. The official language of Gabon is French, but 32% of the people speak Fang. F-A-N-G
as in vampires.
I've finished talking about Fang, Sean, so I don't know why you're interrupting. So 32% speak Fang as their mother tongue, and that's what Shakira used in her Waka Waka. This time for Africa. It's Gabon and Equatorial New Guinea. It's like both their sort of joint languages, but a lot of people speak it in Africa.
Who jointly hosted the African Cup of Nations?
Not sure. And I've got some Fang for you. This I found out. Okay.
Oh my gosh. Of course he does.
Mawaki Fang, which means I don't speak Fang. For someone to turn around and say in Fang, I don't speak Fang, must be a little bit. But if we see any traditional Ghana, I might just shout out to the Ghana players. Who am I kidding? Our tickets were like 10 quid. We're not going to be anywhere near the pitch. Gabon, and I've called it Ghana there as well. Doncaster, Darlington, Ghana.
All the same. I did find out, however, that their president is called Ali Bongo.
Okay.
Ali Bongo,
yeah.
Lad.
Don't know what magic.
Well, have fun tonight, lads. And go on, Gabon.
Right, I'm gonna make the first point as we open it out. Talked about David Platt earlier as the second youngest player in the squad.
Flair.
I think we've all seen that.
What is it?
Yeah, so basically, for anyone who doesn't know, they're training in, where are they?
The US, or Malaysia.
Malaysia, somewhere out far east.
We've been there and done that, it gets boring after
all. Well, QPR on their special play. They're doing an open training session, the ball comes across and David Platt.
He's done it before.
I'm going to get onto. David Platt, overhead. It was like basically like Rooney against... Man City, wasn't it? But with better technique. Didn't come off his shin. It
wasn't quite as high, was it? It was more sort of shoulder height.
But so then again, so the camera angle. If you're talking, if the camera angle was right up there, it would have looked a lot better.
He's proper horizontal as he struck this ball. It's quality.
And the reaction of Aguero was on the touchline. Just turned to him and went, "What the hell?"
Brilliant.
He was a bit of a player in his day. And a lot of that Platt just got up. Carried on.
Mark Hughes has done it before.
So this video, the video's on YouTube, and I tweeted it from the podcast account. So if you go back onto the podcast Twitter feed, you'll find it there. Exactly what I was going to say. When Mark Hughes was at Man City, he struck again in City training.
It was a good sort of 20, 30 yards out. This volley has just ripped the top corner out.
And he celebrated, though, didn't he? He went bloody mental. He was just looking at the camera. Have you got that? But Man City training session.
Roberto Mancini done it just the other day as well.
Have you seen the clip?
I haven't seen the clip yet, but I'll put that up on the podcast website.
Also, when you go on there, find out there's another one with Balotelli and who's the big centre forward? They do like some little routine. They do a little 1-2 and then they score a goal from that. Also on Man City's YouTube training page. I know they won the Premier League, but they should just play like they're doing training. They'll be even better.
Right.
So make sure you do that shit.
Speaking of old Gits, old Gits that have still got it, Rivaldo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
40 years old he is now, Rivaldo. And he's now playing for an Angolan team.
He still plays.
He's still playing.
Yeah, how much?
40. Oh, he's 40. He's still playing for Angolan side Cabascorp. He joined them at the beginning of the year, and he's just scored a hat-trick in his last game. Quality hat-trick.
He took the ball off the player on the halfway line, ran it all the way through and slotted it past the keeper.
Boom. He's still got it, and he's now scored. He's now averaging a goal a game for him.
Excellent.
At 40 years old. I know. He's still got it. Still got it.
Go on,
going back to, Man City, they've acquired a new famous fan, Jackie Chan. He's come out as a Man City fan. Maybe he's been watching some of these moves on YouTube.
He saw it over a kick.
Exactly. Yeah. When he was a kid, apparently, sometimes he'd support Hong Kong, sometimes England. Now he's supporting Man City.
Glory supporting bastard.
Yeah.
It was Chelsea.
Never liked Jackie Chan.
Why not?
He supports Man City now.
I've seen a stock Gillingham recently, Jim. What's been going on there?
Didn't take long, did it? Look, he only pipes up just to take the piss out of you, isn't it?
It's not nice, is it?
No, and we talked about it, and I completely dismissed it, to be fair. It's been uphill.
It should have been destroyed from...
To anyone who doesn't know, 33-year-old Mark McCammy joined us in 2008, was dismissed in 2011 as a Gillingham player. He was our highest paid player as well.
£20,000 a week,
wasn't it? A bit more than that, I think. It was 3 or 4, something like that.
So 30 quid a week, did you say?
He said two and a half grand. He was sacked for gross misconduct in 2011. He then took the club to a tribunal. Well, he launched a complaint, and then it ended in a court case, which usually they go through the FA and stuff like that, and it just went through the actual courts.
Magistrate, I think it was.
He claimed that they docked his wages, refused him treatment for an injury, and fined him for not turning up in heavy snow. But then, more seriously, he alleged that he and other black players were treated differently from the white players at the club.
Which is a huge allegation.
It is a huge allegation. When in reality, what I see the situation as, and you've got, I wasn't in court, and so this is just what I believe, but. He's a very, very bad football player. We didn't know that when we signed him. Pretty much everyone else did.
Why was he brought in as the highest paid player? That's what you.
It's bizarre. He was playing for Doncaster at the time in the Championship, and we offered him a deal to come down to League Two.
Right.
So you'd think, even though there was all this, even though Doncaster fans and Brighton fans and Millwall fans, places where he'd been, were like, he's rubbish. Yeah. I thought, he was playing the Championship, he's now playing League Two, he'll be good. He wasn't. He was rubbish.
Right.
He was genuinely rubbish. If he was banging in 20 goals a season, do you reckon they would have sacked him for gross misconduct?
Well, fair enough. But, right, so get to the point. So what has happened, Rick? Because last week we said that the trial was on, wasn't it? What has happened now?
So the case has been upheld. The claims of race victimisation by dismissal, unfair dismissal, and unauthorised deduction from wages.
Which is a huge decision to have been made.
The race victimisation by dismissal is the big thing.
Yeah.
It didn't uphold. He also did race victimisation by detriment, which is like they got rid of him because of his race.
Right.
So they didn't uphold that.
Right.
But they upheld that. Certain other things.
Yeah, so they didn't actually sack him for being black, but they discriminated against him during the time he was there.
Detriment is basically they didn't sack him because he launched the complaint. If you say dismissal by detriment, then because he launched that complaint, that's why they sacked him.
So they
didn't find that guilty. So it's not like he was claiming as soon as he said called race discrimination, they sacked him because of that.
They didn't uphold that.
But yeah, there's certain aspects.
What's going to come of it?
Well, the tribunal's reserved its decision on compensation until August the 10th. But in the meantime, Gillingham have basically said they're appalled by the decision and they're talking to their lawyers, so they're going to see what
they
can do.
I
would have thought they would appeal. But I mean, Gillingham are like, it's bad for the club, obviously, and a lot of people know I'm a Gillingham fan. A lot of people said to me, and it's been in the news and what have you, it's really bad for the club. And also in court as well, they also upheld the fact that they colluded witness statements, so they were found guilty in court of sort of getting together and saying, right, you say this, you say that.
Gillingham
were found guilty of that. So whatever I say about I don't believe in what McCammon has said, Gillingham have still done that. The club have still got together in certain parameters and said, right, you say this and you say that, that's been found guilty. The club are still in the bad books there. So we'll see. They're going to launch an inquiry and then the appeal will come in terms of compensation or what have you.
Oh dear.
Did
it's just not very nice, is it?
Any of,
not...
uh, if McCamacal were any of his former black teammates to the stand?
No, because
Curtis Weston or
no, some because they all stayed at the club. This is the strange thing. This is what we've said before.
Well, there are a couple that have come out and said they were forced in on that the snow day. The physio asked them still.
Yeah,
to
but
make
I mean,
it
it's
by
more,
12 o'clock or something, wasn't it?
This is a big thing. They were forced in on a day when other white players weren't, and it just happened that three black players lived together. But then again, those white players were in the squad.
Yeah,
and Mark McCammon wasn't in the squad and was the highest paid player and was feigning injury supposedly and what have you. It's just the hotchpotch of sort of allegations.
Oh, Jimmy, it's a bit sad, isn't it?
Well, it's sad for the club, and there's obviously something in it. Regardless of the race issue, they haven't treated a player right, as they should do.
Yeah.
Even if, like, from my fans' point of view, I didn't like him because he was a rubbish player.
Fair enough.
It doesn't matter. He signed a contract, so you've got to be very careful about what you do and how you treat
people. That's not your problem, is it? As a fan, you cannot like someone because they're crap.
Yeah.
As a club, you've got to treat people the same.
The only one thing I did see from this whole thing was McCammon went into the office and he accused Andy Hessenthaler, who was our manager at the time, of treating him with racial prejudice.
Oh, and he started throwing his desk around.
Yeah. Andy Hessenthaler got up, threw his desk on and sort of squared
smashed,
up to McCammon.
Smashed computers.
Mark McCammon is about 6'6" and he's ripped. Andy Hessenthaler is about Sean's height and weavier.
4'7"
that is, by the way. So anyway, I'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah, you're right.
As the conversation unfolds.
Do you think he had to buy himself a new computer? Because I can't see the scanning.
It probably would have cost quite a lot.
You've done that, you fix it.
You could buy a new desk.
I think that's why Doc McCammon's wages.
Yeah, to pay for the desk.
Probably. Right, that's Jill's done. Jay.
A little bit of a bumpy update.
Yeah, because we were talking about him last week.
Yeah.
Is it still in business?
It's looking okay. Basically.
Great summary there from Jay. It's looking...
You get that on the news, like the South Coast news. They're going out to our ports. It's looking okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
How are things in Syria at the moment?
Now let's check the weather for the Portsmouth Fair. It's looking okay.
Can I get on?
Yeah, go on. Sorry, crack mate, on. Yeah, go on.
So basically, they've asked a few of the senior players, the higher paid players, to leave, and some of them have left now. So
we what? Just
Kanu, one of them.
Just Kanu is one of them.
But as in just walk away.
Just walk away. But obviously, they're not getting paid now. But they've still got issues with previous payments for years.
Right.
Kanu's saying he's still owed £3 million.
And Ben Ayim as well wants £3 million, didn't he?
Yeah. So they're saying they still owe money, so they still want that. But they have left now. They've terminated their contract. So Greg Halford, David Norris.
And have these players found clubs yet?
David Norris has gone to Leeds.
Because
Greg Halford will get a club somewhere. He's been around.
I think Halford's off to Leeds as well, isn't he? They're both a Warnock player, aren't
they? Right, yeah.
So Barney as well, but they've still got Dave Kitson, Liam Lawrence, and Ben Hayne.
And is that because Kitson isn't agreeing to cancel his contract, or do they want to try and keep him? Because they're going to need players, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they still want him to leave because he's, again, one of the highest
players.
Yeah,
doesn't, yeah. Or even just mutually terminate the contract, then they can sign him back if he doesn't get. But the thing is, Dave Kitson probably won't get much more better wages.
No.
If he mutually.
Much more better.
You know what I mean? If he signs his contract off, he'd probably get a fifth of that wage somewhere else anyway, so he might as well go back to Portsmouth. But then again, with the fans. Want him back there if he's one of these players that are holding on.
So what's the give us a headline, what's the update? Because this isn't that funny, it's quite sad.
No, well, it's not funny at all. So they're
no one said it was funny, by the way, Dan.
That's what I mean. We're going off the topic of the banter of the podcast, and it's just a bit sad.
So they're still in danger because they've still got to pay wages for these that players that are still there, and they basically still got to pay £2.5 million.
So they've got to try and find investment from somewhere.
Still, yeah.
Just a quick question to the rest of you as well. If you're a Portsmouth fan, obviously they're going to be annoyed at the likes of Kanu and stuff for claiming their money.
I'd already be annoyed if I was a Portsmouth fan.
Obviously, but someone like Dave Kitson, he probably hasn't made enough money out of football yet to not... Like, he's going to miss his wages. If they owe him money, I think it's fair enough. Like,
well,
some of these players,
last week,
they signed a contract.
You wouldn't get the fans working for nothing, would you?
Exactly,
they want their money, yeah.
Exactly. And certain, some of these players do earn a lot of money. Some of these, they probably don't earn as much. I don't know, but... Part
they
of me is like,
have a lot more than we do, that's for
true,
sure.
True, but it's all relative.
Lifestyle,
isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
So we earn a hell of a lot more money than certain people. And
well.
If they said, well, you should, don't worry, but they, if the Mirror owe you this, they might owe you 10 grand, but you should just buy that off. You're not going to do it, are you?
Yeah.
It's relative to what you're used to and your lifestyle and stuff.
Exactly.
So it's just worth taking into account.
Yeah,
because you can look at it and go, what bastards, they're holding the club to ransom, the club's going to die. Yeah.
No, I completely agree.
So
the club have promised them that money.
Yeah. Well, that was all
Harry
very
Redknapp.
Always
Redknapp.
Keep your promises.
Yeah.
I'm going to lie in it. Let's talk about just Mirror Fantasy Football League.
Yes.
Some good news is that we've got quite a lot of people doing it. Some bad news, my girlfriend's thinking of leaving me because of my obsession with the podcast Fantasy Football League. In my defence,
to be fair,
I've got Vidic, Gary Cahill, Kyle Walker, and Vincent Kompany.
I'm sure there must be loads of other reasons.
In my defence, come on.
Yeah, we've heard that twice already.
Yeah, alright, but you loved it both times.
Yeah, yeah.
Alright, just quickly, we've got about 10 people in there now.
Yep.
Fantasyfootball.mirror.co.uk.
That's nine more than I expected when I did.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, the sure. code is 800791 and the league name is Pubcast with a capital P. You've not got your team in yet, Dan.
I will by the end of the week.
Have you got your team in yet?
I've just put it in today.
But there's quite a few people in there.
I'm definitely getting Nobby in the week.
That Euro striker as well. I didn't realise it the first time and then I started flicking through. I was like,
have you ever put yours? Have you not gone public? There's a guy. Who's the guy who's not happy that no one's public?
Alan Marshall, I think it was.
Yeah, he's.
Hey, what? Have you kept the team private?
No, I've done mine public.
Mine's public.
Mine's
basically.
Hang on. I didn't
mine's
know there
pretty
was
much public anyway because it's basically the Newcastle starting lineup.
Yes. So I said to Sean Arnold, I'm going to look at yours. Eight Newcastle players.
I didn't know what I was doing.
Clearly, who've you got up front?
I've got Cissé, Denver Barr and Papi Cissé.
Duncan Ferguson and Alan Shearer.
They're going to be absolutely flying, getting loads of points for you during the African Nations Cup, aren't they?
Yeah, well, you can change it during
the season,
can't you?
Right, I think
talking of the African Nations Cup, Gabon got to the quarter final.
They did, yeah.
Lost to Mali 5-4 in penalty. Something else I know about Gabon football.
Nice. Yeah,
why is there another one so soon?
Because they're trying to mix it up between the World Cups, I think.
Right.
Because
there was only one in January just gone, wasn't there?
Yeah,
it's normally every two. Right.
Okay. Go on, Dan.
I just think we're going naughty boys.
Yes, come on. Yes,
naughty boys.
Hang on. Can I put the Senegal defenders in there for that challenge?
Yeah. There was one though. I think it was on the left back. Who was playing left back? I think it was on Danny Rose or someone was slotted in there. Who was playing left wing?
GB left back would have been
Bertrand. I mean, it was a wonderful tackle because he got the ball as well.
Oh yes, he did. Yeah, just on the halfway line.
Yeah.
And we saw it. The Senegalese, one of the coaches, just went, "Oh God." His hands up to his face.
That was the yellow card. That was the nasty one. But then there was one a little bit later in the game.
It was the same player. And the reason he was doing it, although he got the ball, he was doing it like, "What are you doing? You've just been booked. Don't do it again."
Sorry.
He actually got the ball, so the referee let play go.
But that is fair enough for naughty boys because they did not put some tackles in. Bloody hell.
Who else have we got for naughty boys?
Charlie, you scummy bastard. I'm getting angry.
He's
a
coward. Bale has claimed that he went out to do it.
It's not the first time.
I was watching the game when he was playing for Swan.
It's almost identical Blackpool, what he's running on.
I mean, that the challenge in the Blackpool game, I winced when I was watching it because it was horrible. And Bale was out for 3 months. It was a disgusting tackle. And the way that he's got
his legs set enough when it happened to him.
Exactly. and Bale's lucky he didn't. And the fact that it's a friendly in the States, right? If you don't put tackles in like that in a friendly.
It was nowhere near the ball.
And it was a horrible. Adams's agents come out and gone, "Oh, you can't say that. Well, defend that tackle, you bastard." Luckily, Bale's fine. He scored again last night. Wait.
Why is he not in the Olympic team?
Because he's only just recovered from injury. And he'd be too late, wouldn't it? It'd be too late. Bale.
Didn't agree with the national anthem.
Notice last night, though, he's wearing the number 9 shirt this season, I think.
Really? Yeah.
Which is very interesting.
You don't have any other strikers, do you?
Well, at the moment, no.
I'm glad we've got half an hour and we've only got 5 minutes left because I've just spilled beer all down my groceries. I've got no idea what we're going to talk about now.
Other naughty boys, Rio Ferdinand.
Yeah,
and his choc ice tweet. Naughty. Even more naughty. The Switzerland.
Been charged for a choc ice. You're not going to get one free, are you?
Yeah, exactly.
Mr. Whippy, don't give them out for shit.
The Switzerland.
Hang on, where are we going? Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Right, I said, Rio Ferdinand choc ice tweet. We talked about that last week, didn't we, though? He's been charged.
Yeah, no, but how did you get onto Switzerland from there?
Another naughty boy.
Okay, the naughty sounds like a country to me.
The naughtiest boy. Was Michel Morganea, I'm going to go with, has been expelled from the Swiss Olympic football team for racist comments on his Twitter feed.
Yeah, they got beaten by South Korea, and after the game, he tweeted something racist about the South Korean players, so they sent him home.
Fair enough.
Is that what he said? We're not
going to repeat it.
Really bad then.
Tell me later.
Whisper it.
I don't actually know.
I'm going to put someone else in there then. Leon Knight.
Oh, dearie.
Real
I think most of our listeners and downloaders are probably Twitter savvy, so they probably know about it. But yeah, he wasn't very nice to Jamie O'Hara, and more specifically Jamie O'Hara's wife Danielle Lloyd. That's all I'm going to say. I think
it was horrible.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. You know when someone,
well, I have to say I did laugh a little bit.
He's gone to town, Sean.
Has he?
Some of the things he said about Jamie O'Hara's wife.
Do we know the background to
don't
it?
Don't really know why he came out for him and why he started going for him.
Daniel Lloyd tweeted him saying, "Leon, go get a job." Love.
Yeah, I don't think, I think that was in response to some of his first tweets.
Yeah.
So what you, why did he do it? You gave a reason, and we just said no, that isn't the reason.
He hasn't got a job, so he just thought to do it.
Danielle isn't exactly squeaky clean, is she? She's got a little bit of previous.
Yeah, that's
anyway, what he alluded to. Yeah.
Some of the things he was saying were just
all of her previous.
Oh, please tell me he listed every single one of them.
He was listing people.
You're joking.
Anyway, what he spoke.
Romain was my favourite. Romain in Portugal.
The way he said it was some of the words he used and terminology he used. Jamie Horace reported him to the police. That's how bad it got.
Not that funny.
Which is completely
not fully right anyway.
We had a debate with Darren Lewis on Friday, the Miro football journalist. Because
a bit of a name drop.
But we were saying he's now not got a club. He is a decent striker. He does know where the back of the goal is. And Darren Lewis was like, he is a decent player, and if someone's a goal scorer, it doesn't really matter, people will take him on. And then we got talking about Lee Hughes and the debate that we all had about the goalkeeper, McCormack, the other day. He hasn't got a club at the moment. He's been booted out of so many clubs. You would have thought so. But this is the point I made. If he's looking for a club, made headlines everywhere. Who's now going to touch
him? In England, he's not allowed to play for an English club because they've still got Diamond still have his registration.
I think that might have blown over now.
3 years though, so I'm not sure. That's why he's playing for Glentoran.
Anyway, we've talked about him enough. Right, he's a naughty boy.
Another funny story.
That wasn't a funny story. That was a bad story.
Sorry. A funnier story. As you know, I'm lying again.
Wayne Rooney was caught in Waterstones in Manchester last week, returning 50 Shades of Grey because he thought it was a local prostitute director. Bringing it back up. Very disappointed. 50 Shades of Grey, he shagged the old woman.
We get it. It's not funny.
You laugh, no, Jake. If we hear that back, you laugh. Thank you. All right. Just bringing it back up.
Again, not funny, but...
Yeah, thank you.
Not funny. Benegra, Valencia's new signing, isn't he? Has he been there a while? Anyway,
Benegra, he's been there a while. Yeah.
It's all right.
He's the one who ran over his own foot, I think.
Well...
Run over your own foot?
Exactly.
Well, he's not had much luck.
This is what I mean. He's not having a lot of car luck.
Hang on. You can't run over your own foot in a car.
If you get the handbrake.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought you meant he was driving. No.
He's got one of them clown cars. A Flintstone car.
But he hasn't really run over his own foot, has he? His car.
He's had no luck when it comes to cars. No.
But what else has he done?
He's been driving along in his brand spanking new red Ferrari.
Mate, it looked used. It weren't brand spanking.
It looked used.
Get the facts right, dickhead.
That shouldn't be out of your brand fucking nose.
I swear to God, if it takes me any longer to tell this fucking story. He was driving along, short circuit.
He set a light.
The fucking.
Right, we move on. Anyone else for anything else? No, go on.
There's a video of this, I'll get this up.
There's a video.
I think the Porsche ain't setting a light, and then all of a sudden.
Literally, he was driving along, and the car burst into flames. He was alright, And there's a shot of it, the whole car.
Afterwards,
it's
literally
flames.
Just two front wheels.
Yeah.
Everything's melted.
I probably saw that. If that was a Jewish joke, that's bang out of order, mate. Front wheels. Front wheel skid. Yid. Jew. Come on. Oh, anyway.
Yeah, the fact you had to explain it four times, mate, he probably didn't mean what he was saying.
No, I know.
Right, quickly.
I've got one more, which I saw, which was very, very, very funny.
One more, which I saw.
One more, yeah. And
Ryan. Part of the mandem, isn't he,
Dave? Right. Arsenal players getting down, getting a groove on. Seen this?
No. Were they doing the pop and lock?
No. But they were. Well, love the fact similar.
I've learned pop and lock today. I've said it about 10 times already.
Like mandem, you learnt that last week.
Mertesacker, Podolski, and Sanya.
They all want to leave.
In a Ferrari.
For fuck's sake. Busting a move in Nigeria, right? They joined up with the dance troupe in Nigeria to do the Malta Guinness Low Sugar workout. And it's literally them doing this sort of work dance routine. It is magnificent. As you can imagine, Sanya has got a rhythm. He's doing pretty well with all the girls. He's got the shoulders. He's got the lot. Mertesacker lives up to it. good feet for a big man. Like he's got a bit of rhythm.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's a big man.
He's a big man. Got a bit of rhythm. Podolski is absolutely shocking.
Does he try rapping at all?
It's about as good as his singing, honestly. You can just see his rhythm. He's looking around thinking, I have no fucking clue what I'm doing right now. But it's very funny. So I'll get that on the side as well.
Right, quickly, I'm going to scoot along. I'm going to put my foot down here. We promised to only do half hour shows during the close season. We've got nothing to talk about.
We
could sit here for 2 hours. Sean, Brechin versus Rangers.
Yeah.
I asked you to look into this because it's the Ramsden's Cup, was it?
Yeah, it's basically the Scottish version of the St Johnstone's Paint Cup.
Okay.
every team.
No, this is it, but they won in the last minute, wasn't
that's
it?
That's right. They've still got a good
score. No, it was extra time, 102nd minute.
Yeah, that's right.
Extra time?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
And what's his face? Lee McCulloch scored the goal.
So
they've still got.
It was Brechin, wasn't it? So basically.
I think it's Brechin.
Brechin.
Whatever, yeah.
Is it Brechin?
Yeah. Prove it. Well, it doesn't really matter. But Brechin, they scored their first goal against Rangers in 8 decades in that game.
Have they played them in 8 decades?
Not many times.
Probably not that great then.
A couple of times.
Bit of a shock to only beat him 2-1. It might be a sign of things to come.
Speaking of results, though.
Sorry, just 2-6, because I don't think we really summarised that very well. Rangers had to play Brechin in the cup preliminary round because they're now in Division 3. They've got into this competition. They went to Brechin away and they only beat him 2-1 in the last minute of extra time.
Brechin are the league above, though.
This is it, Div 2. So, there we go. Sorry, Dan, go on.
No, I was just going to give another result, just an update on Western Sydney.
Yeah.
So before we finish, because we were saying last week, you know, they had their first ever game, pre-season game last week, 1-5-0.
Aye.
1-5-0. Yeah. Tony Popovich was.
Well, the fact it's a pre-season, and we're like, they're going to win the league now.
I know, but they're being compared to Melbourne Heart, and saying that you know they reckon that they've got the spirit and they've got the heart. I'm sorry, no pun intended. To go on, and they Popovich said he was buzzing. He quote saying
any Melbourne Heart updates?
Well, I wasn't asked for a Melbourne Heart update.
Curtis Good.
Yes.
Signed for Newcastle.
Mm-hmm. And I like that, the tweet that we got from one of them saying, we should get a finder's fee.
Well, no, it was me that said we should get a finder's fee. I was like,
first discovered by the Football Pubcast. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't, but I like that.
I don't think we talked about it. I think we came across his name once and we were like, Curtis Good. Someone made a stupid gag about Good.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But they're also about to sign 30-year-old veteran Croatian player Dino Krasinga.
Who, Melbourne Heart?
No, Western Sydney.
Okay, so are we now Western Sydney only?
Yeah, we are.
Oh,
really? When did that go to a vote?
No, I think we need to talk about it as well. But I'll just give you an update.
Because Stu's not happy.
I don't even know who these are.
Stu hasn't been here for a few weeks.
No.
Just before we go as well, $210 million shirt deal for, is it Chevrolet?
Chevrolet, yeah.
Part of Ford Motors Group for Man United. We noticed that the other top 10 shirt deals, you've got Man United in there, $30 million for General Motors, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Liverpool, Man City, Real Madrid, Chelsea, Spurs, AC Milan. Joint number 4, Sunderland.
What?
Invest in Africa.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's just after they bought Gian or what it was to do with, and linking it in like you do, or...
they weren't that last year. That's got to be a new deal that's been signed.
Yeah,
hasn't
it's got to be, because I'm trying to think. I've never seen that before.
Pretty amazing. There you go. Right, a bit of housekeeping for you. Most importantly, the Pubcast Fantasy Football. Fantasyfootball.mirror.co.uk. League name is Pubcast with a capital P, and the password is 800791. From next week, my man Sean is on the case, and he's going to be looking at some of the teams we've got in there, some of the people we've got in there, giving some name drops, giving some team names. We are on Twitter at Football Pubcast. You can email us banter@footballpubcast.co.uk. We're on Facebook, which no one seems to give any love to. Bad times. Facebook.com/TheFootballPubcast. Complaints?
@SimonHead.
Always the same. And visit the website www.footballpubcast.co.uk. As well as this show, you will have a Dan with a Ferrari video and Sean with some Man City training videos on there. True?
I'll
get the Arsenal boys dancing as well.
Get that on there. Definitely get that on there. Yeah. I wasn't listening when you said Arsenal boys. I do love that Per Matasaker was just doing a bit.
I think we should pop and lock it out the door.
Pop and lock it, I do like that.